Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or insightoasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at activespirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to our wonderful weekly program with Pamela Cuccinelle and Susie Mazzoli, activespirituality.life. And we are now talking about week 48 of 2020, starting with Monday, the 23rd of November. Pam's going to let us know what's in store, and she already warned us last week about this week. So pay attention, folks. And then I'm going to jump in at the end with our traditional 10-minute Turbo Boost meditation. Thanks so much.
Okay, so I am, thank you, Susie. Pamela here. I'm going to start talking about November 23rd, and the moon is in the sign of Pisces. And yes, I did speak at length last week about the advantage of using that waxing moon cycle to really imbue yourself energetically with a lot of basically positive juju, to have a sense of potential, optimism, how fertile you are with possibility and ideas of readiness for transformation. Because we are in process of transformation individually, within countries, globally, economically, institutions, education systems, all these things are changing. And so that can be very unsteadying for some people who are not fluid or adaptable with the changes that are happening. If I were to guide through a meditation at this point in time, I would encourage you to see yourself as in the bottom of the ocean, thousands and thousands of millennia ago, and a creature, a life form in the bottom of the ocean, just getting all its needs met with food, oxygen, and how it needs to move around in its environment. And yet there's a yearning, an evolutionary spark that starts to engage and encourage some kind of shift. Maybe something happens along the skeletal structure of the creature, or something that happens with the scales on the creature, or how the creature actually intakes food, energy, oxygen from the water. But there is an evolutionary change that eventually leads to the whole magnificent Earth and its creatures in which we are a part of. So with this moon in Pisces on November 23rd, I invite us to remember that we are part of this blue planet, the blue planet that is mainly water, our bodies that are mainly water, the evolutionary process that would have been so much different if we didn't have the satellite of the moon to basically ritualize and routine the tides. And that has remained constant. Yes, there's been precession. The relationship of the Earth has shifted slightly to the sun and continues to do that. And therefore, so does the moon. So there are shifts that happen in the actual astrogeometry of our planet to its solar system, but the orientation, marriage, relationship of the moon and the earth has a constancy and has a spiritual logic from an astrological perspective. So what's so important in this time of pandemic, wherever you are on the planet, whatever your response is or your responsibilities during this time of the pandemic, it's so important to create rituals, routines, habits that mirror that ebb and flow of the sea, because we are in a process of transformation. And the more we create personal rituals, routines, habits that echo where we are now, instead of fighting it, the more able we are to flow into appropriate and graceful transformation. So I encourage us all, including myself, to think about this on Monday the 23rd, when the moon in Pisces is so beautifully aspected and really giving us energetic support for structural transformation and changes. And throughout the day on Monday, you may notice in the morning, you may get some sort of spiritual revelation or aha moment, especially for people who have the option to pray, meditate, focus, be in nature in the morning. But we don't even have to be appropriately positioned. It comes in regardless. The important thing is to listen to it, to observe. Sometimes it's a bird flying across the sky, something that awakens within us that sense of something bigger, how we're all a part of the universal unconscious. And so it's a very deep day for self-revelation and community connection for those of us who are lucky to be in some sort of group work or meditation work or a community outreach work. Whatever it is you do, be aware that everyone within who you come in contact is a messenger in some way. And that person is reaching out or connecting, but also teaches us about ourselves. How adaptable are we? How in control of how we react? How aware are we of how we react and why? So it's an auspicious day for those of us who pay attention. It may not be a day where you feel that I got a lot of work done, and yet you can get a lot of work done. It just may not be physical results, although it could be, especially keen for people who are in the therapeutic arts, healing arts, any creative process. Very strong day for this. And listen to music, be in nature, be in or near water, if at all possible, even during your morning wake-up shower. Just give yourself a moment to realize you are part of the flow, and like water, you move, you change, you adapt. So on the 24th, the moon goes void of course at 5:44 a.m., and when the moon is void of course, we're in a period where the moon is not making any geometric aspects to another planet before it changes signs. So at that point in time, we're not as emotionally attached to outcome. So traditional advice is to organize, do work on projects already in motion, perhaps follow up, but don't expect necessarily to get a response. Tidy up, purge, those are all sanctioned things to do when the moon is void, of course. It may be a little different depending on your personal horoscope. If the moon is touching a planetary aspect in your personal horoscope, this might be a little different. But in general, that's what we say about the moon void, of course. It enters the sign of Aries at 10:05 a.m. and then that's a whoosh. Suddenly we are in movement. Something starts to happen, and it's not necessarily easy movement, because what's happening is we're going from mutable water, which has had this relatively long void, of course, almost 5 hours, where it may be restful and restorative. And then we enter into Aries, which is cardinal fire. So suddenly things, demands may increase. Do this, do that, go here, go there. And it may just be stirring up within you, depending on your personal energetic makeup, the sense of, I've got to do, I've got to go, I've got to make things happen. So the thing to keep in mind is that as this moon in Aries travels, which it does through Thanksgiving Day, it is very directed, rather aggressive and assertive. And then on Thanksgiving Day, it hits some planetary aspects that signal possible conflict. So for those of you who are spending Thanksgiving Day, which a lot of people are moving towards considering Indigenous People Day, if you're spending it with people who at times invite conflict, and as many of us know, sometimes the people who invite the most conflict in our lives are the people we grew up with. So if that's the case for you on Thanksgiving Day, the 23rd, when the moon is in Pisces, is an excellent day for you to let old grievances or anger just wash over you and get to a point of understanding what's important and what can I say that holds my truth but doesn't get me in the wheelbarrow groove of an argument that just is never going to get out of the ditch. Because the most constructive way to use Thursday, the 26th, and I haven't forgotten about the 25th, it's just it's a fast-moving moon in Aries day where we kind of rush and move quickly through things. And so that's why it's so important to slow down, be self-aware, be aware of what you're doing and why. And then you can have a highly productive day. On the 26th, Thanksgiving Indigenous People Day, depending on your orientation, once again, I mean, there will be people grousing about the fact that the Thanksgiving parade isn't what it has always been. There are people who are going to be reacting to the fact that they can't be with Uncle John or whomever. But the thing to keep in mind on this particular day, and it's in Aries. So Aries is initiation energy. It's about starting something new. And it comes in conflict in the early morning with the planet Pluto, which is about death and irrevocable transformation. So the more we fight the inevitable, the harder it gets. Then later in the day, it's in square to Jupiter. So everything might magnify. We do too much or we extend too much, which isn't necessarily a good idea in a time when the advantages of this time of the pandemic and quarantine are to think in terms of how can I be a disciple to my spirit. When I say that, it's back to one of my earliest teachings when I was first getting into metaphysics about what the word discipline means. And if we think of discipline as being an orientation to holding a practice that is something that has a goal, an end goal, well, that's being a disciple of the spirit. Because if our spirit is moved to do a certain thing and we don't have the discipline to follow that path, then we end up at our last breath feeling as though we had a lost life. And none of us want to do that. So at this point in time, when some people are reacting and saying their freedoms are being taken away or they feel too restricted and they're sad, it's very important to honor the pieces that do have that sense of grief, but also to look at what you have. And Thanksgiving, by its nature, is a day that speaks about gratitude, which is why for me, I mean, for so many years, it's been more gratitude to the country that I basically grew up in, and also a atonement piece to what happened long before my people came to the United States. But that doesn't apologize for the basically acceptance of the white privilege that my ancestors had. Yes, I can tell you, you know, my Italian family, you know, the dark ones and how they had to struggle, but it didn't even last the first generation. By the time the first generation was here, they appreciated success. So that's something that the United States needs to recognize. I know I'm taking a tangent here, but I just read this morning about how the Cherokee Nation has been one of the most successful communities in the United States with just no COVID. And it's because as a nation, they made certain decisions and practiced them. Testing protocol, taking care of the elders, all the things that in some way are easier to do with a tribal society that feels a connection to one another. And one of the statements one of the women made was basically the attitude in the United States that every state for itself with the attack of COVID was kind of as crazy as if we were being attacked by another country and basically we're told every state for themselves. So I just found that very interesting. So there can be a lot of terrific conversations on the 26th. In the end, though, the most important thing is to keep clear that you want to hold your integrity and respect the other person's perspective. That's Moon square Saturn, which is not easy, but regardless, it's about holding your authority and integrity and respecting the others. So the Moon goes void, of course, at 6:46 p.m., after which time things should ease down a bit that day. Good day to walk, get some exercise, especially if you're someone who likes to enjoy food on this particular day. And then at 10:43 p.m., the Moon enters the sign of Taurus. Now, once the Moon enters the sign of Taurus, we're in a much easier energy. It works more with a sense of, okay, what can we start to realize? What have we learned? What have we gained? On the 27th, there's a Venus-Uranus opposition at midday. And this is very interesting because usually when that happens, we may be attracted or caught off guard by something we don't usually pay attention to. So it's a transit. It moves quickly. I would advise don't invest, don't get married to the person you met an hour ago. You know, it's not high commitment energy, but it's intriguing. And the overall arc of the 27th and the 28th is about growth. And the thing I love about the 28th is that it's got Neptune going direct. And Neptune is the planet that is linked to the ocean, our spiritual connections, universal unconscious. And I've been talking about that thematically all week. So the fact that it goes direct at this point in time when the moon is in Taurus, it's really suggesting that it's an excellent time to integrate whatever new spiritual awareness has come to you into your body. Love your body, as those who've listened to me for a while have probably heard me say, your body is your most valuable possession. Without your body and the health of your body, it doesn't matter how many goods or much money you have. So integrating into spiritual awareness of your body is a wonderful way to use the 27th, the 28th. Be in nature if at all you can. Art, culture, things that make you so appreciative to be alive. And the 29th, the moon goes void, of course, at 7:48 a.m. It's void for several hours until it enters the sign of Gemini at 11:16 a.m. And that sets up the lunar eclipse that happens Monday. And yes, I'm doing another cliffhanger now because that lunar eclipse is kind of a big effect energy. And the most important thing to weather that energetically is what I've been talking about this entire week, is to be aware of what's going on with your emotions, how you react to things, and to really know it dimensionally, not just sort of rote responses. That's important. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Okay, no more rote responses, people. Okay, so let's jump into our meditation. I invite everyone to take a position of comfort, peace, quiet, taking a deeper breath and relaxing and arriving. And as we arrive, just checking in with the body, how's it feeling? Just notice where you're at. And wherever we are at, let's just be in acceptance, just for 10 minutes. Let's just accept where we are, whether we're in pain or not in pain, feeling tight, feeling sore, or whether we're feeling fit, whether we're happy with the shape of our body, whatever. Just for now, for 10 minutes, just in acceptance, just in a space of understanding, neutrality, peace. And as you fall into that place, which is probably unusual for most of us and sometimes very strange for us to be in acceptance, just notice that it really is just a state of mind. That it's just a state of mind to decide, yes, I can be neutral. Yes, I can be in acceptance. And we're letting the mind now override anything. So the mind can override how we feel physically. the mind can override how we're feeling emotionally. So we're letting the mind perhaps be disciplined, be in command, be the driver. We're letting the mind now be in command. And as we let the mind move into that command position, we're taking away some energy. We're taking away some command from our emotions, or even from physical reality. It is the mind that is the interpreter, and one might go so far as to say the creator of our reality. And we know, for example, as we're growing up, that we use the word control our emotions. And a part of our maturation process is to learn to be in command of those emotions, to understand them and to not let them rule. And sometimes we'll see people around us that are having a tantrum or making sure they're getting their way. We might see people around us who are out of control with their emotions. And we see that this is pretty much the way humans work, that they are emotionally led, emotionally driven, to the point where there's too much emotional involvement, where they've been overwhelmed by emotions, or perhaps even the other side, which is so much energy is being used to suppress the emotions, to keep them way, way hidden, to keep them out of view. So just notice how much energy or how much work it is for you to stay in that balanced space, where the emotional state is not the be-all and end-all, where the emotional state is something that you are able to be with. And what are emotions? What are these feelings? What are they? When you really come down to the biology of them, they're basically chemicals floating around our body, making us feel a certain way. Chemicals that are released when we do feel a certain way. And then we get used to those chemicals. We like them, those hormones. We like them, or we don't like them. So as we notice what's going on, as we notice our state, as we notice what we're driven by, as we notice what is creating the very state that we are living in every day, we also notice that we, our mind, our thoughts, those thoughts, that mind, is what can be in command. We recognize that that mind, that awareness, that is the core that we can now really strengthen and deepen into. And our transformation, our development, our spiritual deepening comes from the mind. It comes from that ability to perceive and analyze, all coming from the mind. The mind can rein us in. The mind can say, stop, and bring us back to neutral. So as we give more and more attention now to the mind, we're giving attention to mindfulness, to that place of understanding, of awareness, of consciousness, knowing full well that our thoughts create our emotional state, that our thoughts actually even create, we could say, our body, that our thoughts create the way in which we exist in this world. Our thoughts are creating in every single moment the world that we live in. And even science tells us now that our thoughts actually have weight, that they are real. So let us think. Let us be those people that think clearly with balanced mind, with mindfulness. Taking command and coming back to balance and neutrality. So gently opening our eyes, recognizing where we are and what we're doing, and now going forth to this new week with a really deep state of mindfulness. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. We look forward to being with you again next week.
You have been listening to ActiveSpirituality.life with Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinelle. You can find out more about our work on ActiveSpirituality.life, and we really hope you have found this episode helpful. Please share it with your friends. And if you feel so moved, we appreciate your donations. ActiveSpirituality.life. Have a beautiful week.